Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, over here, guys.
To me, where I'm longing to be, with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious days of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to open your word this morning, Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can learn, Father, how to walk according to your will and your way. Father, we pray for this land of ours, that the people here one day will wake up and turn from their evil ways, Father, and quit standing against the church, against your people, and against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they will begin to repent of the evil they have brought upon the people of this nation, Father, those that are in leadership. And help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. So many today, Father, don't realize how this nation was formed and framed and our Constitution and all. But, Father, we know, and we know that with your help, we can straighten this nation out, but we can't do it alone. Now, Father, as we come down to begin this service this morning, we ask you to be with us throughout the remainder of the day and give us your guidance. And once again, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Dennis, we're going to get Brother Dennis up here and see what God's put on his heart this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Okay. Before I get started, I want to talk about a couple just real quick things. First of all, whenever we're reading the Bible, And whenever we're studying the Bible, always, always, always go into whatever it is that you're going into, first with prayer, supplication, and then with an open mind. Always go into it with an open mind. Don't go into anything with any preconceived notions about what you're reading. Particularly whenever, because we've been kind of dealing with the end times here lately, particularly whenever you're talking about prophecy, always go into it with an open mind. Don't go into it with any preconceived notions that you may have heard from other people in the past. Always go into it with prayer and supplication. That way you'll get the full understanding. And something else that people don't really realize about prophecy is the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you see, and the more the Spirit opens it up to you. So you can read the same thing two or three different times, and each time you'll get just a little bit more out of it. So just throwing that out there. Now, I'm going to start off today, not with our reading, but I want to talk about some other things. Today being the 4th of July, which is our Independence Day, where we're celebrating our freedom. We'll start off with that, and then we'll go into our reading. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, let's say we're talking about freedom. I want to make sure that everybody fully understands, being as I'm a military person, that people understand that freedom is not free. It costs. It costs dearly, and it costs with the blood. In the case of our personal freedom, it costs the blood of soldiers all around the world. In the case of our salvation, it costs the blood of Christ. So I looked up, just out of curiosity, what the word free means, because personally I don't believe it even belongs in the dictionary, because there's absolutely nothing on the face of this planet that actually is free. So I looked it up, and there's 18 different definitions for the word free. All of them but one out of all 18 of those definitions, and this is out of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, all of them but one dealt with bondage of some sort, either being in jail or being repressed or something of that nature. Only one of them had a definition that says no charge. That's literally, out of 18 definitions, only one of them had that one thing that said no charge. The biggest one that was in there, and if you think about it, it kind of throws something into the face of what freedom actually means. It says immune to arbitrary governmental interference. Now, when you think about that, are we truly free? Because I can tell you right now, the government's all kinds of in my business. You can't do anything, whether it be, you know, EPA getting involved in your mess, the IRS getting involved in your mess, you know, the government telling you you got to wear a mask, the government fixing to start mandating shots. I mean, the government's all kinds of in our business right now. So the little bit of freedom that we do have left, cherish it. Because, again, it's not free, and they're taking this stuff from us by leaps and bounds. And us as a nation need to start fighting back on this stuff. Now, moving on to the salvation part of this, we need to understand that we're born into sin, which means we're already, from the minute that we're born, we're on a straight road to hell. That's our final destination, is hell. The thing that we need to understand is it's through the blood of Christ that gives us that freedom to break those bonds of going to hell so we can go to heaven. Like I say, everything has a cost. Everything. Now, blood gave, or God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to have the blood to atone for us, but we also have to pay a price as well. Because, again, nothing is free. We have to repent of our sins. We have to start a whole new life. And in the cases of starting a whole new life, that means we may push out. Or not necessarily us pushing out, but a lot of times they'll pull away from you whenever you change. Your friends, your family, all kinds of people is going to start moving away from you, and some of them you're going to want to move away from you. There's going to be a time, and I think it's going to be very close, where Christians are going to have to literally give their own blood. They're going to have to die. Already, people are, me for example, not too very long ago, I got 45 days off on Facebook. Got thrown in Facebook jail for 45 days for posting scripture straight out of the Bible. That's all I did, posted scripture. 45 days, Facebook jail. I literally just got out of it. That's all I did. That was it. So, straight out of the Bible, word for word, King James Bible, posted that. As soon as I hit the post button, 45 days. We're coming. It's coming fast to where everything you say and do is going to be scrutinized as a Christian. I just got 45 days, or just came out of 45 days on, of course, Facebook jail. So, and I was labeled as a bully. That's what it said. I was bullying people. But, I mean, but we've already talked about several times that the Bible is going to be used as hate speech. And that was a prime example of that very thing. So, again, nothing is free. God gives it to you freely, but it's not free. Okay? Just understand that. There's a cost for literally everything. And some of them are more costly than others, and freedom is one of those things. Whether it be the freedom to be able to go from one town to another, the freedom to go get a job, which right now seems to be a hard choice for some people, but I'm not going to digress. I'm not going to get into that right now. But it is. It's costly. A lot of times there's a lot of pain and suffering that you're going to have to endure, whether it be ridicule from your friends or your family or people that you talk to on the street, because we're given the commission to witness to people. And as you do that, you're going to get chastised for it. I mean, many times I have. But on the flip side of that, you never know who you might just save, whose blood is taken off of your hands. Because if you get the spirit that tells you, or you get that little thought in your head, you know, which typically is the spirit talking to you, you need to talk to this person. Talk to God. Talk about God to them. Or talk about Christ to them. Talk about the Bible to them. And you don't do that, you literally have their blood on your hands if they don't do what they need to do. But if you do go forth and try to show them the way, teach them the truth, then, you know, that kind of helps you out in the long run. So just keep that in mind. All right, so if you will, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8. We're going to be keeping on with the same stuff that we've been talking about, end times scenario. The one that we're going to be talking about today, a lot of people think that this is this prophecy that we're going to be talking about, because it is a prophecy, think that this prophecy happened during the time of the Maccabees. In fact, they think that Antiochus Epiphanes was the person that they're calling the little horn here. And they think all this place took place, I think it was around 160, 168 B.C., somewhere in that time frame. But I'm going to show you whenever, after we get done through reading about it, and hopefully you'll hear what we're talking about as I'm reading it. This is an end times prophecy dedicated at the end of time, and it literally says end times in here three different times. So the where people say this took place during the time of the Maccabees is not true. Now, maybe the part about the Maccabees, it was a foreshadow of it, because, you know, he did put up the god of Zeus in the temple, which is one of the things that they talk about at the end times that's going to happen. And he did sacrifice a pig on the altar. That's true. That's all very, very true. But that's just a foreshadow of things to come, because this literally says three different times. And if something's, I mean, if you got more than one witness to it, it's got to be what it's talking about. And like I say, this is, says three different times that this is for the end times. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here. And my voice is a little shaky. Just overlook it. I've got a bad case of the shakes this morning for some reason. In the third year of the reign of the king of Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the place which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and he touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram that stood before him, but he cast him down to the ground, stamped on him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of the one came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself to the prince of the host. By him the daily sacrifices was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I saw and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as we were speaking with me, I was in deep sleep on my face towards the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, for four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors come to the full, a fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and chastise, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by his peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but no one understood it. And that key, that last phrase right there, is still true today, because a lot of people still don't understand what they're talking about. First, before we get into understanding what this is, the where it talks about who they are, it says, let me find where are we at here? All right. All right, it says the ram are the kings of Media and Persia, okay? If you'll have to go back, and to understand what this is actually talking about, you also got to understand that when Daniel wrote this, the world geographics was a lot different than they are today, okay? Persia, which for the most part is still alive, or still here, it's just called Iran now, and Media, which is part of northern Iraq and a little bit of Afghanistan and a little part of that part of the world over there, that's Media and Persia. And then when it talks about Grecia, that's actually the little corner right there where Greece and Turkey meet. It's mostly Turkey, because the biggest part of what they're talking about in Grecia, when you go back to the old maps and look at it, it takes place of where Constantinople is now, or Istanbul, what was Constantinople, which is the center of it, which gives you a whole different perspective of what they're literally talking about when you know the geographics of what they're literally talking about. And something else that you also need to understand whenever you're reading Bible prophecy, Jerusalem is the center of the world. As far as Bible prophecy goes, actually, as far as the Bible goes, it's the center of the world. Everything takes place in that whole part of the world. So whenever you hear people talking about saying that the United States is this or Germany is that, or in places that are insignificant as part of Bible prophecy, because literally everything that they're talking about is taking place in that part of the world, because at that time, that was the center of the world. So just keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind whenever you're reading this stuff. Okay. So, and it talks about the budding of the heads, you know, where the ram is budding his heads. Well, that's what's going on in the world right now. You got Iran, and if you pay any attention to what's going on in the news, which is hard to do because they try to hide everything or lie to you or just blatantly throw out lies. Iran is a major factor in what's going on in the Middle East right now. There are all kinds of up inside Iraq right now. They're in Syria right now. They're, which is, you know, the western part of Iran. They're in the Golan Heights, they're in, good Lord, I can't remember the name of the other little place over there on the side of Israel. And to the south, they're in Yemen and all the whole little region right there. So they're making their waves. They're butting heads already, making their waves. And not only, I mean, people think that butting heads, what the ram is doing here, it's necessarily talking about war and things of that nature. But if they're interjecting into the policies, into the world in that particular area, that's the same as butting heads as well. They're just doing it politically instead of, you know, physically. So keep that in mind. And then you got turkey, which is called Grecia here. You got turkey in there, and if you paid any attention to what's going on with Turkey right now, you got their leader, which is wanting very desperately to bring back the Ottoman Empire or the Caliphate, bringing that back, okay? And then something else that you also have to understand to get the full meaning of all this stuff, you got Iran, which is Shia Muslim, and then you got Turkey, which is Sunni Muslim, okay? Those two don't like each other from the get-go. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems, okay? And what brings forth a lot of these issues, particularly when it's talking about end times prophecy, is you got the Shia Muslims, which is in Iran, that has their Mahdi, that's supposedly their Messiah. They want him to come from, you know, the Shia section of it, and then you got the Sunnis, which want their Messiah to come from their faction of the same religion. So they're butting heads over that. Iran has already said that they know who the 14th Imam is, or I'm sorry, the 12th Imam is, which is supposedly their Messiah. And not to get too far off track, but just so you'll understand a little bit better, everybody says that Muslims and Christians and Jews are pretty much the same, worshiping the same God. I'm here to tell you that we're not, just based off of the fact that their Messiah, which they're going to try to portray as being Jesus, by the way, their Messiah is actually what we call our Antichrist. And all you got to do, and that's one of the things that I also think people need to at least, once you get strong in your faith, because some of that stuff will mess your mind up, but once you get strong in your faith, you need to actually read about and actually read their text a little bit about what's going on in their world, because their end time scenario is pretty much the same as our end time scenario, but 180 off. In other words, their Messiah is our Antichrist, and our Messiah is their Antichrist, because they have an Antichrist as well. They don't call him Antichrist, but, I mean, that's the basic concept there. And they're literally 180 off from each other. So whenever their so-called Messiah comes on to the scene, they're going to call him Jesus. And that's part of what may possibly be part of the great deception. It's going to screw a lot of people that don't have good, strong faith out there. And again, it's prophecy, so nobody knows exactly and can, you know, stake their life on anything that's prophetic, because things change on a daily basis, particularly in stuff like this. But as I understand it, at this particular moment, that's the way it's set up, okay? And if you paid any attention whenever I was reading, it had three different times in there that it said that this is going to be taking place at the time of the end. Matter of fact, I'll read all three of them for you so you'll understand that I'm not making anything up here. For at the time of the end shall be the vision. What shall be in the last end of the indignation, and at the latter time of their kingdom. So that's literally three different witnesses saying that this prophecy that we're talking about is at the end time. Now, the little horn, which is our Antichrist, is going to come up out of the four. Okay? So in the grand scheme of things, what's going to happen, whether they reform their caliphate, the Ottoman Empire, or not, is kind of a mute point. I personally think that they are. But in the grand scheme of things, the Sunnis, led by Turkey, and the Shias, led by Iran, they're going to have a holy war. And it ain't going to be very far off because they're already bickering and fighting. And there's already been skirmishes on the, because Turkey and Iran actually share the same border. So there's already been skirmishes and stuff like that. Again, you don't hear about this stuff in the news very often. But if you go into I think it's called Israel 360. It's a website, a news website coming out of Israel. You can see a lot of that stuff in there because they have a vested interest in knowing what's going on in the world right around them. So, but there's been a lot of skirmishes and a lot of fighting going on, and it's getting more and more up to date and more, you know, strong. And then you throw in what just happened here within the last year with the Abrahamic Accord, which brings, you know, the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south more into play, which ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, is Sunni and Shia, because the Sunnis are mostly in the south and the Shias mostly in the north. So now you got the kingdom of the north and the south, which is Gog and Magog, which is a whole different prophecy, but it's basically the same thing where they're fighting. So it's just complicated, but it's not complicated. You just have to, literally spend a lot of time. You got to go back, research what these countries actually are, understand what's going on with these countries based off of what's going on into the news today. And once these countries get together, then something like the United Nations or the U.S. or something else, you know, they're going to form one great big country. And then we're going to say, oh, my Lord, you got 3 billion, not 3 billion, yeah, actually 3 billion Muslims that's all under one imam that's controlling all of the Muslims in the world right now. So now they're all separated. They're just country per country per country. And they're not all tied together. But once they all get tied together under one person, then, you know, that's going to scare the dickens out of anybody that's not a Muslim. And I foresee that whenever they get that, or at least before they even get it built, all the people that are not Muslim are just going to back up and regroup and say, what the world's going on here? We can't have this, because once you get 3 billion Muslims, and they're in every country in the world right now, just like Christians are, and they're taking orders from one person, we got to stop this. So then it's going to get broken up, and that's where the four little horns are. It's going to get broken up into the four little horns, because you had the one big horn that got broken, and four little horns came up out of it. It's going to get broken up, and out of the one little horn, or the four little horns, it's going to come the one little horn, which is the Antichrist. So if you paid any attention to what I just said, the Antichrist is going to come out of the Middle East. A lot of people think, you know, not even a year ago, people were calling Donald Trump the Antichrist. You know, it's obvious that the Antichrist is not going to come from the U.S. And like I say, everything is Middle Eastern centric, particularly Jerusalem centric. So the Antichrist, when you read it and understand it, is coming from that part of the world. It's going to come from Persia. Matter of fact, several places in the Bible, the Antichrist is literally called the Persian. When you start putting two and two together, you get a bigger picture of what's literally going on there. Now, we're going to drop back down. I kind of gave you a synopsis of basically what is going on. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what Antichrist does. And if you've ever read Revelation, it's not word for word, but it's close enough that you understand that what we're talking about here is literally written again in Revelation. So now you got two witnesses for that as well. We'll start with 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not of his own power. All right, that already tells you right there that he's going to be full of Satan's spirit. He shall destroy wonderfully. In other words, he's going to destroy a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. And shall prosper. In other words, he's going to get rich, baptized, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. So that tells you if you're a holy person, a Christian, and or a Jew at that point, your days are numbered as soon as he takes office. And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper, which is witchcraft and things of that nature, that all this New Age movement, all that crap, to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. In other words, he's going to think he's top of the world. His poop don't stink. And by peace shall destroy many. Now, we already heard the other prophecy saying that there'll be 7 years of peace. There's going to be a peace deal and all that stuff. Kind of falls right in line with what we're talking about here. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princesses. In other words, the battle of Armageddon. He's going to be right there. And it says, but he shall be broken without hand. And it says that the sword of the mouth, or the sword that comes out of the mouth of Christ is what's going to do him in, which is, by the way, the Word of God. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be many days. So this isn't, this particular prophecy was actually closed up until the end times. And it's now, as you can see, it's starting to make more sense to people. And you can see what's going on. So this particular vision has been opened up. We can see who all the players are. We can understand who all the players are. We can see what's going on. And for the most part, if you pay attention to the news, you can almost see the timeline coming to fruition as we're standing here. You know, there's very, very little that truly has to be left to be done. This is one of the prophecies that still has to be done. But it's not that far off. I mean, like I say, I can't pronounce the guy's name that's in charge of Turkey right now. I'll butcher it, so I'm not even going to try. But like I say, he is desperately, desperately trying to bring back the Ottoman Empire or a new caliphate. And the reason that he wants to bring it back is because the old Ottoman Empire or caliphate was based in Turkey at Constantinople or Istanbul, which Constantinople, the name was changed to Istanbul when they took it over. When the Ottoman Empire actually overran the Roman Empire, and that was literally the end of the Roman Empire, which is actually another prophecy that actually probably, if the pastor's going into Daniel tonight, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that ain't one of the prophecies that they'll be talking about. I don't know that, but I would venture to say that if they're actually in Daniel tonight, it's probably going to cover that, because that's, I believe, was the next chapter of what we was talking about when we left here the other day. So you get a bigger understanding. And something else that I want to throw out there, and I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, there's a lot of people out there that tell you you don't need the Old Testament. Everything you need is in the New Testament. All the stuff that's in the New Testament is based off of stuff that's in the Old Testament. You have to understand the Old Testament to get the greater understanding of the New Testament. If you don't understand what's going on before Christ, you're not going to fully understand what's going on after. You know, it all works together. That's why it's all in one book. That's why they put it all together. You know, you cannot understand everything in the New Testament without fully understanding the New Testament or the Old Testament, which brings me to something else that I've been preaching about. You need to pick up your Bibles and read them. There's a lot of stuff. It's just too late not to be thinking about what's going on in the world. We don't have much time left. We need to talk to everybody we can possibly talk to. We need to push the gospel on everybody we can possibly push it on, particularly our friends and family. We need to get them into the book, make them understand it, let them see what's going on. Because truly, we don't have much time left. At worst case scenario, the absolute worst case scenario, this planet, as we know it, has 7 years left. Best case scenario, 20, 30 years. Okay? I mean, we're just that close. Literally, we're that close. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but it tells us you can see the season. We're definitely in the season. There's no doubt about it. We're in the season. Too many things are going on. And then, like I was talking about earlier, about freedom. Think about all the freedoms that we've lost just in the last 10 years. Think about the multitude of freedoms that we've lost in the last 20 years. You know, right now, if you wanted to get on a plane to go to anywhere, let's say you just want to get on a plane and go to Atlanta, Georgia, for example. Well, 20 years ago, all you'd have to do is buy your ticket, show it to the counter person, get on the plane, and go. Now it takes you up to 2 hours to even get checked in. You can't even take a tube of toothpaste with you or a bottle of mouthwash with you because somebody might be carrying a bomb. So they took away your freedom there. People don't think about stuff like that. You got to go through all kinds of security checks. You know, you got to take your shoes off. A full body scan where somebody's looking at your naked body through a camera. You know, they're doing all this stuff. And this is every airport. I mean, it don't matter how big or how small it is. You literally, that's a freedom that they took away from you. Not only that, but it's indecent for somebody you don't even know to see your naked body. And that's literally what they're doing. They're seeing your naked body in this thing because all it does is makes your clothes invisible so they can see what's there. It's terrible. That's just one couple of the freedoms that we lost just because of 9/11, which I ain't going to get into, but that was a big farce as well. Then you got what's going on with this so-called pandemic, which I don't think personally was nothing but the flu, but that's just my personal opinion, because the numbers of deaths that we've had were the exact same numbers of deaths we had the year before it started from the flu, exact same number. No change. In fact, if anything, the numbers were less because we unequivocally know that a lot of the deaths that was attributed to COVID-19 were people that was in car wrecks that were, you know, things of that nature. They just listed everything as COVID because it was all about the almighty dollar because they was giving money for every death that there was. But I digress on that. Then you got this vaccine, okay? I am not by no way, shape, form, or fashion saying that vaccine is the mark of the beast. I'm not. However, wearing that mask and pushing this vaccine is by all accounts getting you indoctrinated, getting you ready, getting you prepared to take the mark of the beast. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. And something else, and I said this to a couple of my friends. Matter of fact, I've got one online that I am almost positive I talked about this very subject to about 4 years ago when we worked together. I thought back then that the vaccine or a vaccine was literally going to be part of the mark of the beast. Whether it turns out to be, I don't know. But something caught my eye when I was reading the Bible, and it made perfect sense to me. The one thing that you cannot do, cannot be saved from, is the mark of the beast. That's it. You can be saved from murder. You can be saved from adultery. You can be saved from anything. But if you take the mark of the beast, you're unequivocally going straight to hell. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And that and blasphemy and the Holy Spirit are the only two things that I've seen in the entire Bible that you cannot be saved from. Okay? So with that being said, I got to thinking, what would be so special about the mark? They've got this thing, and they've been using it for a couple of years now. And in fact, when you do a little more research into it, which is getting hard to do right now, by the way, because every time you try to look up vaccine or COVID or anything of that nature, they put all kinds of blocks up there on it right now. So it's kind of hard to do some research on some of that stuff. But if you go to some other web browser other than Google or Bing or any of those, go a good one that I found that actually does not do a lot of that stuff is DuckDuckGo. But the mark, whenever you take a shot, you know, they're putting it in your skin. Well, they've came out with a new transmission of vaccine. It's actually a tattoo that they can place on your skin, and it's got the vaccine embedded into the tattoo. And when the tattoo goes onto your skin, and they tell you that there's two places that are the most prominent places to actually get it because of the way your circulatory system works, is on your right hand, because 90% of the people are right-handed, or on your forehead. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever been cut, you know, or hit, or if you got even a scratch on your forehead, you bleed profusely because you just got a lot of blood right there, okay? And they said that those are the two most prominent places to put that tattoo. Now, one thing that this tattoo does, it'll stay on your skin for 24 to 48 hours, and it's like a tattoo that you got a child plays with, and then it disappears. Then you can take your cell phone, which there's a special app for, that's already out there, by the way. You can hold the cell phone up to their forehead or their hand, and you can see where that tattoo was. But it takes a special light that only a cell phone can give up. So you can run it over their hand or over their forehead and see if they've got it. Now, I foresee, and you can hear it in the news already, you know, you can't go anywhere without a COVID pass. I foresee the next round, which they're already talking about another round of this stuff. The next round, I think the vaccine that they're going to be pushing is going to be something of that nature where they can put it on you because they're wanting a COVID pass now to get into certain places. And you start adding two and two together, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't know that for sure is going to happen, but you know, when you read stuff in the news that talks about the very things that we're reading here in the Bible, it's not a big leap to see that that's a likely scenario that could happen. So, I could say the time is drawing near. Matter of fact, it's at hand. You need to get yourself right if you're not right. You need to get your family right, or at least try to get your family right. You need to get into church as much as possible. And I'm not going to get into, you know, some of the things that because there's a lot of false preachers, a lot of false churches out there. But you need to get into a good church, understand what's going on in the world. And even if you don't or can't go to church, because I know a lot of people can't go to church for whatever reason, you need to pick up the Bible. You need to do what some of the people are doing right now, listening online. Call in to some of these places. We actually have a call-in number where you can call in. We've got several people online right now or on the phone that have called in. You need to do things like this whenever you're unable to attend church. That way you can assemble with other like-minded people and understand what's going on in the Word. Get deeper into God's Word. Understand what God wants from you and move forward. Because like I say, we don't have much time left. And with that, I'm going to close. I hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July. And I hope everybody has a blessed day. And may God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dennis. I got a little something before we close out that I want to share with everybody. A little something I saw this morning that in a way it was cute, but it happened at a place that back just a couple years back could not have taken place. This young preacher was preaching a service this morning, and he was preaching a service that was strong and full of truth, which really where he was preaching at made it odd to start with, because it would not have been accepted even just a year ago. I do know him. I also know his dad. His dad's also a minister of the gospel, a well-known minister. I'm just going to give you just a short outline because he preached a good message for about 35, 40 minutes. But he used five signs. And he had real signs. And he had them on stands about that high. And they were the real things. And he brought the first one out. That first sign said, slow, school zone. So he started out his message with that sign. That was the number one sign. About how our government today is after our kids, and how they are trying to get them away, especially our Christian children, where they are now putting into schools this teaching about the unisex and all of this, you know. And then he brought out the next sign. Of course, he went into a lot of detail with each one of these signs. Like I said, I'm just kind of giving you an outline, because it was cute. But there was so much truth there. And knowing where he was at, and knowing that this would not have been accepted back a year ago, made it even that much better for those that know and understand. The next sign he brought out said one way. He goes into how the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's no other way to get there. And he goes into that message. He has the third sign brought out. The third sign says yield. These are all signs we all see all the time, especially us that gets out here in cars and things, because they're all the roads. And he goes in how we are to yield ourselves over to Christ and how to bring him into our life. He goes into all of that. And he's using the scripture just like it's written for each one of these. Now, after that sign, the next one that comes out. He's got a man, the other man back here that's carrying all these out as he gets ready for them. Because he's bringing each one of them out when he's ready for that thing. And the next signs that he brought out said one way. He goes into the message about the one way. There's only one way to make heaven our home. And he preaches about that for a little bit. Then the fifth and last sign he brings out is a stop sign. And of course, he goes into the message about how we are to stop the sin in our lives and stop reaching for things out here in this world and paying more attention to flesh than we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, he had a good message out of it, a good length message even out of it, and it all comes straight out of the Bible. I mean, he brought it straight. He wasn't taking, twisting, and turning it. He was bringing it out by the Spirit. This was a young man. I don't know how old he is, but I'd say he's still in his 20s. Now, he may not be, but that's where I figure him at. I've seen him a couple of times, and I'll tell you who it is. His last name is Hagee. Pastor Hagee's son. We all know Pastor Hagee. He's been around for years and years and years. His son was preaching in a Baptist church this morning with these signs. That would not have went in a Baptist church back just a few years ago, especially with the truth. It would not have went over at all. They'd probably stopped him and asked him to left. But that was his message this morning. It made it really good. And I'll tell you one thing. There was a lot of them paying a lot of attention to him. And it kind of made it cute too, you know. And like I said, these signs were real, just like you see out here on the side of the road. So he had to have a connection somewhere with the highway department to get them. But he managed every one of them. The slow school sign was real. The one-way sign was real. Yield, all of them. Just like we see out here on the road as we travel. All right, we're going to get ready and close out. I just wanted to share that with you because it was, and we are seeing some come out now, and they're standing on the truth that had not been teaching truth. They've been teaching tradition. And that's what most of our churches are teaching today, tradition of mankind and what man thinks and what man wants instead of what God wants. You know, they tell me, well, you preach like you're mad. No, I'm not mad. I love mankind, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing to start with. And I love the Lord God. I'm not judging no one. I know when they do wrong, yes. If I didn't know that things they're doing was wrong, I wouldn't know whether I'm doing things wrong or not either. I don't like the wrong they do. No. But it don't mean I don't love them, because I do. I want to see them find salvation so that they can make heaven their home. That's why I teach. I don't teach for money. That's one sure thing. I'm not paid. Never have been. Never have been paid for preaching. Don't ever expect to get paid for preaching. That's not why I do it. I do it because the Lord God called me to do it. And I do it because I do want to see mankind find salvation and make heaven their home. And I want to reach as many as I can and bring them all in to God's love. They've got legislation out right now to make our Bible a hate book. They're trying to get it declared as being hate speech. The Holy Bible. And it's a book filled with love. And telling you how to walk in love and all. And here they are trying to make hate speech out of it. They've got legislation. They just ain't been able to get it through yet. But the way things are going, if we don't get these walls of denomination tore down out of our churches, that's causing all this division among mankind, we're going to lose our nation. And we're going to lose our freedom to worship the Lord God. And we've got a lot of people right now that's exactly what they are working to do. We need to be in church. We need to be in a church that will give us the truth. Now we may get our toes stepped on. I step on my own. We may get our toes stepped on, but that's the way you learn. Nobody going to judge you for getting your toes stepped on. They're going to love you and pray for you. If they know about it, you know, just like me. I pray every day for the churches here in this county. And every meeting we pray for several of them that I know, and know a lot of the people that's in the churches. All right. But remember, everyone, to be with us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back into the Word of God. And I got a surprise for everybody for tonight. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I've got a surprise for you. So come join in with us. If you can't come, call. Call in. You got a phone that... You got unlimited minutes, call in, join with us. And I think you'll be in for quite a surprise. We're going to close out now here. We got a little snack back in the back there, so people can get a little snack and talk with each other. And then we can separate and go our ways until tonight. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word up this morning, Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word. We thank you for a place to where we can come, Father. Now, Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to take care of them, to keep them safe, keep them in health. and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we're told to pray for peace for them, and we do. We pray for them to receive and have peace. But Father, even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, because it takes that in order for us to have peace. And our nation, Father, this nation that has turned its back and walked so far away from God, a nation that has no excuse for doing so. But Father, trying to tear our country down, we do pray for it. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to take those out of office that's standing against the church, standing against your people, and standing against the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to put those in office that will stand and work for these things, Father, for your word, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for your church, and to help us to put our country back on the foundation and our government in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list this morning, as each name is called, we pray that the Holy Spirit will touch each one of them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Carrie Coates, Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, these men that come from different walks of life, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus. For the Glory-Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, this young man, Will, that a year ago was ordained into the ministry, my prayer for Will is, Father, that his teacher was the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. For that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, we pray that it not only be a lighthouse, but a place of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill that little church, Father, to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And Father, for my young friend in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, keep him safe, Father. Keep him in health and see to his needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, Father, for each one that has heard this message this morning, for their families, for my wife's family and my family, Father, we pray for all of these families, Father, that the Spirit will work among the families. Take those that are walking in darkness, Father, and turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, Father, and all can make heaven their home. Now, Father, for Jimmy Embry, Sharon Montvillo, and Sharon's mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Casey Smith, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a mighty and great way, and touch them, Father, where they know that it is you and not mankind that has brought about that healing. Now, Father, this church is yours, it's not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Make of this church, Father, what you want it, and help me to build it in number as well as in spirit. Keep it, Father, according to thy Holy Spirit. Use me in a mighty and great way, Father, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, I pray. Amen. All right, God bless everyone. Hold on to God, and he'll hold on to you. Join back with us again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So until then, good day.